Endurance, number 13 in the 2 Corinthians series. This is an exposition of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 4 through 10. This message by Pastor Rod Harris was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Sunday evening, July the 15th, 2018.
Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity, the privilege of worship. Lord, I pray as we gather around your word tonight that you would instruct us, that we might be nourished and fed, that we might be encouraged and strengthened, that we might be the people that you desire us to be. Father, as you speak to us tonight, give us ears to hear and eyes to see. But more than that, grant us the courage to live out this truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ministry is hard. Preaching a sermon is not. Teaching a class is not. Being part of a program is not. But ministry, pouring your life into the lives of others, loving the unlovely, caring for the hurting and the dying, being faithful to live a biblical lifestyle in an increasingly secular culture is excruciatingly difficult. Ministry is not for the faint of heart. I remember being told as I was getting ready to graduate from seminary, and we were having meetings, and they were talking to us that are about to graduate and launch out into ministry. I remember being told, one in 20 of you will finish in the ministry. The rest are going to drop out. The vast majority of those who begin in ministry will not retire from the ministry. Most will quit long before retirement age. I have friends who have been scarred for life because of ministry, because of things that have been done to them in the church. I know people who are good laymen who were involved in church and now they want nothing to do with the church because of how they were treated in ministry. It's not easy. It's not easy, as Paul put it, caring about the body of Jesus and caring for the church. Doing church is not hard. It's not a burden to just be involved, as long as it doesn't involve your heart and soul. As long as you can show up and visit with friends and listen to a sermon and sing a song or two, have a meal, and then go on your merry way, it's not hard at all. But ministry is hard because to minister, you have to open your heart. You have to be vulnerable. And that's exceedingly painful. You likely will be hurt. Your message will be misunderstood, your motive will be questioned, and your methods criticized. And people will talk about you. By the way, I'm talking about the ministry we are all called to do. As believers, as the people of God. I don't want you to hear me up here as the pastor talking about how you mean lay people are so terrible to those of us called of God. I'm not talking about full-time ministry. I'm talking about the ministry of all of us together. I'm saying when you and I live the life that God's called us to live and we try to love people and minister to people and care for people in the way that God has commanded us to love people and care for people, it's painful. It'll hurt. It's not easy. It's not for the faint of heart. How do we remain faithful? How do we keep at the task assigned despite the difficulties, despite the attacks, despite the fact we want to quit? for a year and a half, the Apostle Paul preached the gospel. He lovingly built a church in one of the most pagan cities in the Roman world. And now, from within that church, people are attacking him. They are vicious in their attacks on his character, his integrity, and his message. Paul's critics in Corinth believed that his hardships, his difficulties, his trials, his struggles were proof positive that he's not the man of God that he claims to be. The very fact that he had such trouble, the very fact that there were such trials in his life was evidence that he's not a man of God at all. But Paul insisted, no, those trials, those troubles are the proof that his faith was genuine, that his call was genuine, that his ministry was authentic. Our text tonight is in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll begin at verse 4 and go down through verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 4. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, we are treated as impostors, yet are true, as unknown, yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as punished, and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. As we work our way through this passage, as we look at what Paul had to say, I want us to understand that Paul's experience with the folks in Corinth vividly remind us that endurance in the face of adversity is the mark of authentic ministry. That we endure in the face of opposition, in the face of adversity, is proof that our ministry is genuine. Ministry is hard. To love people and faithfully serve them in Jesus' name is difficult. When things get ugly, when things get difficult, the natural tendency is to walk away. It's natural in the heat of the battle to say, you know what? It's just not worth it. Fact is, I have my letter of resignation on my computer. And it's been there since about 6 months into my pastorate here. And I pull it up and look at it regularly. I update it periodically. I have no intention of using it. In fact, I had to promise Riadon I would not print it without talking to her first. But there are times when ministry is hard. There are times when serving the Lord and being faithful to the Lord and loving people hurts. Because they don't always love in return. Because sometimes they say hurtful things. Ministry is difficult. But hey, if you don't want to strike out, don't play baseball. If you don't lead, no one will ever criticize. And if you never preach, then you'll never bore anyone. But if you're going to minister, it'll hurt. It'll be painful. But it's worth it. And the reason ministry hurts is because ministry is an act of love. And when you love, you're exposed and you're vulnerable to hurt. Three things I want us to note as we work through this passage. First of all, verses 4 and 5. Ministry, by its very nature, comes with a boatload of trouble. Now, boatload is the technical Greek term. It means it's messy. Just the very nature of ministry, it comes with all kinds of trouble. Look at those two verses. Look at verse 4 and verse 5. As servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in affliction, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless night, and hunger. Well, great, sign me up. Where do we go? Where do we need to, what do we need to sign in order to get involved in that? That sounds wonderful. I can't wait to get involved in that. 2 Corinthians is Paul's most autobiographical work. Paul's opening himself up. Paul's being honest with the folks. He's saying, this is who I am. This is how I feel. This is the real me. As he describes his life, it's a life where he is constantly in the dust of the arena, and yet he's always enduring. He's not complaining in this passage. He's just being honest about the hardships of ministry. One writer refers to this section as a blizzard of troubles. Another calls it a shower of triplets, because they're grouped in threes. First, there are general troubles, and they're described as afflictions, hardships, and calamities. Paul says, this is ministry. Afflictions refer to great trouble. It's a word used for oppression or tribulation. It refers to spiritual, physical, and/or emotional suffering. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. Jesus, speaking to those who were his followers, he said to them, mark it down, understand that in this world, as long as you live in this fallen, broken world, and as long as you're following me, you will have tribulation. Of course, he went on to say, but take heart, I've overcome the world. But he said, you will have tribulation. Paul warned in Acts chapter 14 and verse 22 that it is through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. So, general troubles like affliction, hardships. These are troubles that attend life in the fallen world. It carries with it, the word hardship carries with it the notion that this is inevitable. These general troubles, these general heartaches, these things are going to come just because you are alive, living in a fallen world, seeking to live the life that God has called you to. So it's going to happen. It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. Affliction, hardship, calamity. Calamities refer to difficulties which offer no escape. The word literally means to narrow. So the idea is these are troubles that keep funneling you down into this narrow passage, and there's no escape. Paul's talking about ministry. Paul's talking about caring for people, and he describes it with those words. Affliction, hardship, and calamity. But he doesn't stop there. Then there are those troubles that come from others, those that are from without. Like beatings, imprisonment, and riots. Later on in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul's going to describe some of his life story. And in a little section of that, in verses 24 and 25, he says, 5 times I received at the hand of the Jews 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and the day adrift at sea. And he goes on to give this long list things. There are pressures that come from without. There are people who do things to us. And then there are even self-inflicted troubles. He refers to them as labors and sleepless nights and hunger. The word that's translated labors means to work hard to the point of exhaustion. Sleepless nights. Paul supported himself through tent making. He was bivocational. He was proud of the fact that he wasn't a burden on the church at Corinth or any of the other churches he served. He said, I had a right to be supported by you, but I didn't take that so that I would not be a burden. So while he's doing all of this ministry, he was doing other work to support what he was doing. And it meant a lot of sleepless nights. There's only so much time in the day. Hunger. Times he went without food. Paul traveled the ancient world. And when you travel the ancient world, there weren't 4-star hotels dotting the highway. There weren't fine restaurants. He was dependent upon the kindness of the people he served and all that. So many times he went without food. There were times of hunger. Again, Paul's not whining. Paul's not complaining. Paul is saying this is proof, this is evidence of the genuineness of my ministry. This is proof that I am a faithful servant of the Lord. There's no single word to describe what is translated here as endurance. The endurance, the word that Paul uses here in the Greek language, refers to bearing up under hard labor. It refers to surviving the shock of battle. It is used in other circumstances of being steadfast in the face of death. And Paul uses this word to describe the endurance of the people of God in ministry. It marked his life, and it ought to mark the life of all of us who are faithful followers of the Lord. Because of endurance, Paul says, these trials, these troubles don't disqualify me. They validate me. They authenticate my ministry. Trouble and ministry go hand in hand. It is inevitable. The issue is, how do we endure? I'm not saying if you choose to minister, if you choose to love people like Jesus loves them, if you choose to be used of God to pour your life into the lives of others, it might be that you will have some difficulty. I'm saying if you choose to follow Christ and to love as he loved and to care as he cared and to give your life as he gave his life, it will hurt. There will be trouble. There will be problems. There will be things said. The issue is, how do we endure? How do we bear up under that weight, that burden? That brings us to the second thing I want us to note, beginning in verse 6. Verse 6 through verse 8. Survival demands God's gracious provision and a commitment to holy living. By purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, we are treated as imposters and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished yet not killed, so forth. In verses 6 and 7, Paul gives a list of inner graces, gifts of the Spirit of God by which we endure. It's not a matter of Paul sucking it up. It's not a matter of Paul gritting his teeth and moving on. Not a matter of his willing himself to be faithful. It is his trusting and enduring by the grace of God. Now what's interesting, and I hope you noted it when we read those two verses, 6 and 7. In the middle of these virtues is the Holy Spirit. I mean, you're reading about virtues and all of a sudden there's the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's not a virtue. Holy Spirit's a person. Why is it there? Why is he mentioned there right in the middle? It's because all of these things come from the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's there because of the presence of the Spirit of God within the life of the believer. And the person who is the believer is trying to live out this life by the grace of God through the Spirit of God. So this endurance that we're talking about is not the kind of endurance that has a clenched jaw and is angry and just says, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to love you whether you accept it or not. It's not that kind of endurance. It's not the kind of endurance that says, well, I'm going to get through this somehow, some way. It is an endurance that is settled in the sweetness of the presence of the Spirit of God and the grace of God that enables us. It is a sweet endurance. There is a kindness, there is a graciousness that permeates all of it. It is endurance that rests in a purity of life and motive, and the Spirit-given knowledge that of Christ with the patience, the genuine love, the truthful speech, the power, the grace of God. And endurance characterized by sweetness and can only be explained by the presence and the grace of God. How is it we endure? How do we keep going? When hateful, harmful things are said, when people ignore us and reject our message, how do we keep going? By the grace of God. By the indwelling of His Spirit, by His supernatural enabling, His giving to us, His granting to us the gifts that enable us to minister in His name. But don't stop with the first part of verse 7. You have to continue on through verse 8. The weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, we press on. We endure by the grace of God and through righteousness. Not our righteousness, but the righteousness of God through Christ. The righteousness of God is both a status that has been granted to us and it is a way of life. We are declared righteous in the sight of God because of Christ, because of what Christ has done for us. We are in Christ, and therefore we are declared righteous. But that also then produces a righteousness within us as we live out that status, as we live out that truth, as we hunger for that which is holy, as we long for the things of God and we begin to strive for those things and live for those things, it produces within us a holy life. In other words, we live like a people who've been changed. Paul's endurance rides on his righteous living. It rides on the holiness produced by the Spirit of God within him. That's what Paul means by these weapons of righteousness. It means righteousness thoroughly equips us to meet the challenge on any front. This is important because it helps to remind us that ministry is a character profession. Ministry demands character. Ministry demands godliness. That's not true in everything. Being a mechanic doesn't demand holiness. I want my mechanic to be honest, but he may be a scoundrel as far as his personal lifestyle. And my question is not, what do you do on Saturday night? My question is, can you fix this Chevy? Because he can fix the Chevy whether he's righteous or not. Same is true of my doctor. I want a doctor who's a good man. But mostly I want a doctor that knows how to fix your heart. I want a doctor that knows what he's doing. But when it comes to ministry, character does matter. And that's what's been so disturbing about recent news within the Southern Baptist Convention. That's what's troubling. That's what's bothersome. when the executive director of our executive committee has to resign because of an ongoing affair. It's why it's disturbing and bothering when seminary professors have to step down because they've been caught in some morally compromised relationship. It's why it's burdensome and bothersome when you read about executives from state conventions who are arrested because years before they were molesting teenage girls. It's bothersome because ministry demands godliness. Because it affects so much and so many people. And that's why part of this authentication in Paul's life is righteousness. Not that we're perfect, none of us are. All of us fail. All of us are frail children of dust. The fallen sons and daughters of Adam, and we still are at the same time righteous and a sinner. And always will be this side of heaven. We're progressing in righteousness. We're growing in holiness. We're stumbling along the path. But until we see Him face to face and are gloriously transformed into His very image, along the way, we're going to fail. So don't hear me say perfection. But do hear me say righteousness matters. Holiness matters. When it comes to ministry. Now, let's be honest. When I say holiness matters, I'm not saying you can't grow a church on unholiness, because I'll tell you the truth. There are large churches whose pastors have stepped down because they have been involved in all kinds of immorality. I'm not saying you can't grow a church. I'm not saying you can't have a lot of people involved. But I'm saying you can't have ministry that honors Christ without godliness, without holiness, without a pursuit of that which is righteous. It matters. By the way, this term righteousness is not limited to sexual morality. It's a comprehensive term that is far-reaching in its implications. Endurance demands God's gracious provision and a commitment to holiness. One last thing. In verse 8 down through verse 10. Biblical endurance defies the categories established by our critics. Through honor and dishonor. Through slander and praise. Honor and dishonor have to do with personal treatment, how you're treated, slander and praise, what people say about you. And in spite of that, no matter what people do or no matter what people say, we press on in endurance and righteousness. Just look at the things that people are saying that Paul lists. Imposters. That is, deceivers, liars. Unknown. You're a nobody. Dying, you're constantly on the brink of death. You're punished, you're beaten, you're imprisoned. Sorrowful, you're sad and overcome with grief. You're poor, you're begging, you're destitute. You have nothing. That's what they were saying about Paul. But go back through that list again and you'll find Paul saying, imposters, yet we're true. We are who we say we are. And we are who we are by the grace of God. Unknown, well, okay, and yet well known. Dying, well, guess what? Behold, we live. Punished, but not killed. Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. See, I don't think I can read through that punished or sorrowful and yet rejoicing without thinking about Paul and Silas in prison. Singing at midnight. Sorrowful? Sure. And yet rejoicing. Poor, yet making many rich. How? With the gospel. Introducing them to Christ. Having nothing and yet possessing everything. because we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. So have nothing, yeah, and at the same time I have everything. Friends failed him. Converts turned on him. His work was threatened by evil men. Yet, no sorrow, no disappointment can interrupt or take away the joy of his salvation. He endured. He endured the trials and troubles of ministry by the grace of God and holy living, and thus he defied the categories determined by his enemies. So my message is, dear saint, press on. Do not grow weary in well-doing. Stay faithful to the end. Press on. It's worth every heartache and every trial. God is faithful, and he will lead you to victory. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the joy and the privilege of being your people, for the joy of passing from death to life, for the joy of knowing you, and the joy of fellowshipping with other saints. Lord, I'm grateful to the work that you've called us to. I'm grateful that you allow us to be a part of your kingdom work. You allow us to be a part of what you're doing in this world. And Father, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's difficult. There are times when we pull aside and lick our wounds. There are times when we question whether it's worth it. There are times we want to walk away. Grant us your grace to enable us to overcome. Grant us your grace to enable us to endure, to bear up under every heartache, every trial. Because we know that nothing we suffer even begins to compare with what our blessed Lord suffered in our place. And we have been assured that we will overcome. We have been assured that the gates of hell shall not prevail against your church. Father, help us to lose ourselves in this work that is far greater than any of us. Help us to see and understand that the goal is not our happiness. The goal is not our succeeding. The goal is the glory and the honor of our God. And may we give ourselves wholly to that end. It's been a good day. We're grateful for time we've had together in Bible study and worship and fellowship together. Now, Father, use us this week for your glory. Use us to impact the lives of others this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to the TBC Tulsa podcast, which features the preaching ministry of Pastor Rod Harris at Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.